Is your mind restless? Do you crave peace in your life? Join Gloria Copeland and her guest Billy Brim as they share the keys to living a full and peaceful life. Next, right here on The Believer's Voice of Victory. Now here's Gloria.
Hello, everybody. I'm Gloria Copeland, and welcome to The Believer's Voice of Victory. We're talking about victory. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And when we go to the Word of God and we take it, we put it in our eyes, in our ears, and let it get in our heart and come out our mouth, faith goes to work. So welcome, Billy.
Thank
We're glad
you
you're here.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Billy Brim.
Glad to be here. Bless the Lord. We are talking about an awakening. We're talking about the power of God. We're talking about people all over this globe praying for a manifestation of the power of God.
Amen.
And I'm going to start with something from Smith Wigglesworth's book, The Anointing of His Spirit. Wigglesworth knew the Holy Ghost power. He knew the Word. And Wigglesworth prophesied that there would be a move of the Spirit of God. Then there would be a move of the Word of God.
Yeah.
And then there would be a final move of the Spirit and the Word. And so that's what we're looking for right now. We're going to talk a lot about the Word today and what it means, the difference between the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. We have to have them both.
That's right.
And Wigglesworth said, now, at the outpouring that came at the beginning of the 20th century, one of their key verses was from Zechariah chapter 4, "Not by might, mm-hmm. nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." And so it is the Holy Ghost power. I'm reading you from Wigglesworth's book, page 147. "There is one thing only that is going to accomplish the purposes of God, and that is being in the Spirit.
That's true.
Don't care how dry the land is. I don't care how thirsty the land is. I beseech you in the name of Jesus that you keep in the Spirit. That is the secret." He says, God, there is a power in the Holy Ghost to transform, renew, and change the circumstances of your life. But you have to submit and let God take hold of you.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't be troubled because you've not reached that ultimate place. You've reached somewhere.
Stay with it. Just stay with it.
Yes.
You'll get
there. You've reached somewhere. But the best is yet in store. Only yield so that you may have full control. He may have. Only yield so that God may have full control of all you are. And that's what we need in our services right now, in our churches. It's not the time to say we're going to be seeker friendly. It's the time to say we're going to yield to the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
Then they'll see the real power of God and be drawn into Him. Bless the Lord.
You know, history has demonstrated that the power of God is what makes lots of people come.
That's
makes
right.
People hungry.
Oh, we're going to talk about Sister Woodworth Eder tomorrow
good,
and the next
good.
Day. She was a little woman preaching in the 1800s, and 25,000 people came out because of what
without
they saw.
Without television.
Praise the Lord. Glory and she could speak to them, too, and her voice would carry.
Praise God.
It was supernatural.
So we don't seek to be seeker-friendly. We seek to be
the Holy Ghost,
obedient to the Spirit of God.
We
Spirit
seek
friendly.
We seek Him. Hallelujah.
Right.
Bless the Lord.
Amen.
So I was in a meeting recently, and somebody there said, and this is a really young person, I didn't think they probably had a whole lot of knowledge of the Word on the Spirit. And the Word and the Spirit agree because the Holy Spirit wrote the Word.
That's
he
right.
moved on holy men of old, and they wrote the Word. So this person said, we need more emphasis on the fruit of the Spirit rather than the gifts. And I sat there thinking, we need both.
Well, of course.
And both are in agreement. We need everything the Holy Ghost has got.
That's exactly
We need
right.
His power. And so in Genesis chapter 1, we see Him moving upon the face of the deep at the Word of God. And Jesus speaks to us a lot about the Holy Ghost just before He leaves earth. And I'm trusting you have your Bible there, like some of our friends that we read their letter yesterday. They said they get out their Bible, their
yes,
pens.
Amen.
Bless the Lord. So if you've got your Bible, an important thing to know is that when Jesus came, He was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And His ministry mostly in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is to the Jews, and He offers them a kingdom that could have been accepted at that time, evidently, but it was not. So then He heads toward the cross. He's going back to the Father, and he gathers around him his disciples, his followers, and he begins to teach them new covenant truths. Things are going to change. You're going to go into a different age. And so my favorite things to read about in the Bible are these chapters. John 13, he tells them that he's leaving. And he said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I've loved you, that you also love one another." And then he's telling them in John 14, "I'm going to prepare a place for you." And he tells them, "I know you're sad," but he said, "It's necessary for the Holy Spirit to come." And so he begins to tell them, he says, "I go into my Father, and now things are going to change. Prayer is going to change. You're going to be able to pray in my name." Before these chapters, they never prayed in Jesus' name. Before he defeated Satan and was raised to the right hand of the Father, as precious as that, what we call the Lord's Prayer is, it's not the church at prayer. The church at prayer is from here on over. And we find out then he gave the name of Jesus. Prayer to the Father in the name of Jesus. And so he says unto them, "I go into my Father." And he said in verse 14, "If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Verse 13, "Whatever you ask in my name, I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." So now things are changing. It's going to be the body of Christ on the earth. And he says, verse 16, "I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter." This is a promise about the Holy Ghost, "that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him. You know him, he dwells within you, he dwells with you now, but he shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless." See, as Jesus was there and the dove was on him, the holy dove that we talked about yesterday, the Holy Spirit was with them, but he wasn't in them until after Jesus ascended on high and cleansed them with the blood. He came back, you know, to a united prayer meeting there in Acts 2. And all through these chapters, I've done these in orange. "The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name," verse 26 of chapter 14, "he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I have said unto you." There's an ever-present inward teacher that's coming in the new covenant now. And he's in me, he's in you right now, and he's teaching me. Every time I hear a sermon, he's teaching me.
That's right.
No matter who's preaching. He's teaching me about what they say. And he said, we're going to skip on over. He speaks about the Holy Ghost bearing witness in chapter 15, verse 26. And then in chapter 16, verse 12, he says, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now." They weren't ready. They weren't born again. They couldn't bear these new truths. "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. And he shall not speak from himself, but whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you." So he's saying, you're going to have inside you one that hears what the Father and the Son say, and then he's going to speak it to you. And I've written down here, he's my guide inside.
Yes, that's right.
So
that's
Jesus,
good. My guide inside.
So he's revealing. He's living inside you, and he is revealing things to you. And Jesus revealed about him coming in this discourse, John 14, 15, and 16. Now, also in this, and I'm going to show you the difference in the Bible between the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. You remember this person said, we need the fruit and forget about the gifts. No, we need it all.
Oh, yes.
And so now here's your key to understanding fruit of the Spirit. In verse 27, when Jesus is getting ready to leave of chapter 14, he spoke to them about the Holy Ghost. And then he said, peace I leave with you. He would have said shalom, because that's what the word is in Hebrew and Aramaic. Shalom I leave with you. My shalom I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now, he's not talking about absence of war. He says, I'm going to go get shalom for you. Shalom is a Hebrew word that comes from a root word, shalem, that means whole. W-H-O-L-E, whole. I'm going to go get the peace that's going to come to you, shalom, because you're whole. That's what shalom is. the peace that comes from being whole, nothing missing, nothing broken. Now, at this time, they're broken from the Father. Ever since Adam sinned, man has fallen, and he has had a separation between him and God, between him and the glory. In the Old Testament, they had to be separated for their own good. But he said, I'm going to go, and I'm going to get you a joining again with the Father. So he goes to heaven, goes to death, burial, resurrection, and he's on the earth, and he's come back to talk to them. And if you will look at John 20, and verse 19, he told them he's going to go get this peace, this wholeness. And what he means is wholeness with the Father. Peace. And so he's risen from the dead, and he greets them for the first time as a group. John 20, 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, that was Sunday, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and said,
Glory.
Now here's what he said. Shalom Aleichem. Peace that comes from being whole be upon you. We sing the song, Aveinu Shalom Aleichem. That's what he said. Shalom Aleichem. The peace that comes from being whole be upon you. I got it for you. I took my blood. I presented it to the Father. He's just said he had to ascend on high with his blood in the few verses above. He told Mary Magdalene. Now he comes back. He's offered the blood to the Father. It's been accepted. So he comes back and he speaks upon them, Shalom Aleichem. And he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad. Verse 20. Then said Jesus to them again, Shalom Aleichem. He said it again. As my Father has sent me, so send I you. He's speaking. And down here you're going to see in verse 26, he says, Shalom Aleichem, when he appears to them again. Now, the peace that comes from being whole is upon you. Now, we're going to look back, hold right here, and we're going to go back to Romans, because when Paul comes, by revelation from God, he explains what that means. Romans 5. Verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have shalom with God. It has been restored to us. Man and God, again, are reconciled. They can be one because of what Amen. Jesus did. We have shalom. We have peace with God. Now, don't lose Romans 5. We're coming back to it. So now we're going back to John 20. He appeared to those disciples in that room and he said, Shalom Aleichem. Verse 22. When he had said this, he breathed on them and said, Receive ye
Praise
the Holy
God.
Ghost.
Glory to God.
Now, here's where the disciples were born again. Here's where they were born from above. This is not where they were filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke with other tongues. That doesn't come till Acts chapter 2. This is when they are born of the Spirit. When they're born again, they have received the Holy Ghost in the new birth. Now back over to Romans chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have shalom with God, wholeness with God, God and man joined through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through faith in Him and what He did, you Amen. Can be joined to God. God come and live in you. By whom we have access. Hallelujah. Now, here's one of the things that happen in your new birth. Verse 5. The last part of the verse.
What chapter are you in?
This is Romans 5 and it's verse 5. We've just been told that we have shalom with God. We have peace with God. We're one with Him. In the new birth. This is talking about new birth. And look at what happens to you in the new birth. The last half of the verse. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So, when He came and breathed on them, and He said, Receive ye the Holy Ghost, then the Spirit of God, they were born of the Spirit of God, and the love of God was shed abroad in their spirit. The love of God was shed abroad in their hearts, in their spirit. Man's a spirit. He has a soul and he lives in a body.
Amen.
The fruit of the Spirit came to him in the form of love. The fruit of the born-again Spirit.
Okay.
The fruit of the Spirit that is listed for us in Galatians chapter 5 is the fruit of the born-again human spirit. And its kernel, all of these fruit are wrapped up in love. There are 9 categories of the fruit, but they all come under the heading of love.
Amen.
Now here in Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love. And then all these things come under it. Actually, that shouldn't be a capital S there. It's the fruit of the human spirit that's born again. When the Spirit was born again, the Holy Ghost shed abroad in your spirit, where you became a brand new man at the new birth. The Holy Ghost kills you, and then you're born from above. You're born again. And right there, a little brand new little baby, he has a fruit of the Spirit put in him in the kernel of God's love. And then here's how it's 9 manifestations. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with its affection. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Now, so the fruit of the Spirit. This young person said, we need emphasis on the fruit of the Spirit and not the gifts of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. I was going to a friend's church. Pastor Cooper Beatty was my pastor. It was Quaker. And he thought that he had already received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. He didn't speak with tongues. So he came to my house one day and he said, why is it that some people who don't speak with tongues walk in more love than people who do speak with tongues? Some people who do speak with tongues. Well, I had just learned the difference the week before in doing Brother Hagin's book. And he had pointed out that the fruit of the Spirit is the fruit of the born-again human spirit. It grows. It comes in a bud form. And it's like fruit on a tree. It has to grow. You develop your love. You grow in love. You grow in faithfulness. You grow in temperance. You grow in all those fruit of the Spirit. But gifts of the Spirit come complete. And gifts of the Spirit come with the baptism in the Holy Ghost. So in Acts chapter 2, these same people who already been breathed upon by the Holy Ghost and already been born again, in a subsequent experience, Acts chapter 2, they're in the upper room and there comes a sound from heaven and the Holy Ghost comes upon them, that heavenly dove, and they speak with tongues, which is one of the manifestations of the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And then we have the gifts of the Spirit given to us. If you'll look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we see here the gifts of the Spirit. The Lord said, there is chapter 12. Now concerning things of and pertaining to the Holy Spirit, I would not have you ignorant. And he gives to us the manifestation, or what we call the gifts of the Spirit. And he said, verse 4, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of administrations, but the same Lord. Diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. The gifts of the Spirit, then, are to manifest. And Donald G. said that our meetings ought to be marked by the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. And here are the gifts. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, a short, fragmentary part of God's wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. The word of wisdom is a word concerning the future. A word of knowledge is a word supernaturally revealed to you of something that's in the now. To another, faith. This is special faith. It's not the kind of faith of the fruit of the born-again Spirit. This is special faith by which you can get miracles. It drops
working
into you.
Working a miracle.
Working a miracle's faith. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the discerning of spirits. That's visions and seeing into the spirit realm. To another, kinds of tongues. to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit as he will. Now, this tongues is not your prayer life tongues. That comes to you and you pray in the Spirit. This is the kind of tongues that's the gift. And it says, have all received the gift of tongues? Not all. There's only some people that in your congregation, when God wants to speak to the group, he'll give a message in tongues. So the ideal is, and you'll notice right here, we have the gifts of the Spirit given us in chapter 12. We have the expose of what the love of God is in chapter 13. And I recommend reading it, How Love Behaves, chapters 4 through 8 in the Amplified. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Then we go back to the gifts again in chapter 14. So God is telling us in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians and chapter 14 in 1 Corinthians how the gifts manifest. But in chapter 13, he's put love right in the middle of it because the very best combination is that the love that is the fruit of your human spirit, which you've cultivated and it grows, that when you operate in the gifts, you're going to be operating in love. Now, we do see sometimes people operating the gifts of the Spirit, which come complete, but they haven't developed the fruit of the Spirit yet. So we don't need to say, we don't want any of the gifts. We need to say, we want the gifts in their fullness of power, and we will cultivate and watch and see that we walk in love at all times so that these gifts can operate. Sure. Now, on Thursday and Friday, I'm going to be talking to you about Sister Woodworth Edder and how she said, going to be reading you a sermon that's not in a book you can buy, how to cooperate with the Holy Spirit in a meeting. And you're going to hear her talk about appoint yourself a committee of one to see that it's the love of God that controls you at all
That's
times.
Right.
We're going to see the gifts in their fullness and manifestation. Praise
Amen.
His name.
Glory to God. Billy and I'll be right back.
Come to these exciting meetings. A Behind the Mission Weekend with Stephen Kelly Swisher is February 19th and 20th, 2010 in Scottsdale, Arizona at the DoubleTree Paradise Valley Resort. You're invited to join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland for the 2010 Branson Victory Campaign, March 4th through 6th at Faith Life Church in Branson, Missouri. The Copeland Family Meeting in Long Beach, California is July 8th through 10th, 2010. Come and meet the family, George and Terry Pearsons, Stephen Kelly Swisher, John and Marty Copeland, and Jeremy and Sarah Pearsons at the Long Beach Convention Center. The Behind the Mission Weekend in Orlando, Florida will be September 24th and 25th with Stephen Kelly Swisher at the Hilton Orlando Bonnet Creek. Be sure to come to the Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign November 11th through 13th with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland at the Hilton Memorial Chapel in Woodbridge, Virginia. For more information, call 800-600-7395 or visit our website at kcm.org. The best. It marks achievement, sets standards, and brings success. It's what God has promised every believer. But what does it really mean to enjoy God's best? God's best is all about who He is. Blessed Beyond Measure, Gloria Copeland's best-selling book, will help you discover the extraordinary goodness of God. You'll find out how to live in fellowship with Him and experience His love and blessing for you. Step into more of God's best with Kenneth Copeland's book, Blessed to Be a Blessing. His book will help you understand true biblical prosperity as the foundation for walking day to day in heaven's supply. Both of these life-changing books are part of a special offer, Enjoying God's Best. With your purchase, you'll also receive a bonus mini-book, Living in Heaven's Blessings Now by Gloria Copeland, that will take you from average to supernatural as you experience the reality of God's kingdom here on earth. Now is your time to live God's best. Order Enjoying God's Best, an uplifting package that includes Gloria Copeland's best-selling book, Blessed Beyond Measure, and the life-changing book by Kenneth Copeland, Blessed to Be a Blessing. Order your package today and you'll also receive the free bonus book, Living in Heaven's Blessing Now, also by Gloria Copeland. For faster processing and a product discount, order through our website at kcm.org. Or you may call us toll-free, 800-600-7395.
Today we talked about the human spirit and how it can be born again. And we talked about the difference between the fruit of the Spirit that comes to you in the new birth and then the gifts of the Spirit that come to you with the Holy Spirit up on you. Kenneth and Gloria Copeland are making a free package to you that is filled with information so that you will not have to be ignorant how these things come to you. So many people are ignorant about these differences. And here it tells you about being born of the Spirit. Welcome to the family. Now we are in Christ Jesus. Love, the secret to your success. The fruit of the born-again human spirit. And then Gloria has God's will is the Holy Spirit. In this book and in others here, you're told how you can be born again. And then after your human spirit's born again, how you can receive the gifts of the Holy Ghost upon you. It's right here in these books for you. And then we have The Force of Righteousness by Brother Kenneth Copeland. This is an amazing teaching about how your right standing is with God. So you won't have to be ignorant. And this is a free It's a free gift to you, along with a brochure, five books and a brochure. And the brochure tells you how to study the Bible so that you won't have to just be like me. I was born again for 20 years and scarcely knew what had happened to me. And as I sat there on those pews and listened to Brother Hagin teach about my human spirit, which could, the love of God was shed abroad and it could grow in God. But then how I could receive the Holy Ghost and a language to pray God with the gifts of the Spirit. All of that is right in here
Praise
for you.
God.
And it
Amen.
Is free. They will send it to you. Now to be born again and come into the family of God, the Bible says you have to believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. And you have to confess Him as Lord. This is Romans 10, 9 and 10.
It's a decision.
And you'll be saved.
That's right.
So right now, let's just do that. Father God.
Father God.
I believe. That Jesus died on the cross for me. Shed His blood for me. But He didn't stay dead. You raised Him from the dead.
From
the
dead.
I receive Him into my heart and life.
And
come into me, Jesus. I turn my life to You now.
Yes.
According to the Word, whosoever will may come. You will refuse no one. You have accepted me. I am your very own child.
Yes.
You are my very own Father.
Praise
hallelujah. I am born again.
Oh, hallelujah.
Bless the Lord. Then send for the package.
Yeah, we want to hear from you. Let us know what happened to you. This is Gloria and Billy's saying Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for watching The Believer's Voice of Victory. If you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life today, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland welcome you to the family of God. They've put together a free five-book package to help you get started learning your Bible and understanding who you are in Christ Jesus. To request your free salvation package, go to our website at kcm.org or call or write to us today. God has a good plan for your life. Have faith in God and begin to walk in the blessing.